Okay, I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone in Israel good friend Yaakov Motzen, and we're going to hear a little bit about his life and his thoughts about Chazanis and the like. Shalom, how are you, Yaakov?
Shalom, ma shalomchem, Baruch Hashem, very good, and you?
Mitzuyan. I want to begin by just asking you where you were born and where you were raised.
Okay, as the truth is, they told me that I was born in Tel Aviv, because I was very young to remember, but I was raised in Tel Aviv for 13 years, and then I went to Yeshivot, to Kultura in Yerushalayim, Be'er Yaakov, and Konvent in Bnei Brak. Then I did the army, my service, and then I left to Canada in 1978. For about 30 years, I've been in Montreal and then Toronto. And then I moved to New York. I moved to Florida, but I moved to New York about 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm chazan in the shul of Bal Harbor, Rabbi Lipsker's rabbi, and there I'm a chazan, unfortunately part-time, because, as I'm sure you know, and probably the listener know, that today Orthodox chazan is full-time job. It's very rare.
To say the least, yes.
Yeah, and the ones that have maybe full-time job, the few of them, most of them need another two jobs.
I know that is an issue. I'm often asked how to be, a young fellow would contact me, he wants to become a chazan, and I said, look, I don't know, you may have a rare, wonderful gift, but if you don't, I suggest that you go out and earn a living and let chazanis be your avocation, because there's very few opportunities to raise a family. And
that's what I'm saying to, yes, to students that are going to school of chazanut. I'm telling them, it's very nice that you want to know Nusach. It's very important. It's very nice that you have talent. But unfortunately, you better get a real job. This is only as a hobby and maybe a little bit of part-time, because on any 10 chazoni, maybe there's one job available. Even the holiday, I know people that, a lot of shuls that used to take chazoni, they don't take them anymore because some of the balabatim feel that they can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
The rabbi takes the job, and that's what happens. So,
yes,
still in the concert and Shabbos here, Shabbos there, but that's it.
Sorry
about my voice, but I have a bit cold.
Okay. I hope you're not singing tonight.
I want to
hear, how did you become interested in chazanut?
I told this once before, that my mother told me that for 2 years I was crying every night. I probably developed my wrong very well.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is, it's by us as a family. First of all, from my mother's side, I got the very good ear. She's very musical, and she remembered tunes. She knows all the nusach of my late father, from Moshe and Peter, because she was listening to him and even to his rehearsals before Yom Tov. And my grandfather, my father's father was the chazan in Pressburg, in Bratislava. My great-grandfather was a Balfile / chazan with a choir, even though he was going Steinbo in Kosan. So in our family, we have it. I'm probably the first real chazan in as a chazan, not only Balfile.
Uh-huh.
Even though I'm trying to be first Balfile and then a chazan, and that's what my father taught me. And then as a kid, I was singing in choir from Chazan Shlomo Ravitz, and then with my father. Then I was in the choir of the Mojitze Rebbes, at the time, a chosid of the Mojitze Rebbes. And then, age 17, I became the Chazan.
At the age of 17. I saw you in Teaneck when you did a thing with I think Benzion Schenker was there. You did a wonderful Mojitz concert.
No, that was Benzion Schenker. It was the son-in-law of the Reb Shaul.
Oh, okay. Right.
Rabbi Weinberg.
Yeah, it was Weinberg. Wonderful. It was really wonderful.
Yeah.
So you from the age of 17, you've been singing, and tell us.
Singing, I started at the age of zero almost.
Yes.
After the Hasm, I started at 17. I was in Givatayim. Then I became the chief cantor of Givatayim. I was 1 year in Haifa in the Great Synagogue, and then I was in Ramat Gan in the Great Synagogue, the chief Hasm, and then 78 I left to Montreal, then Toronto.
How was life in Toronto and Montreal for you?
When I came, really, it was 78, 76, the French people came in, so a lot of Jews left. But still was a real lover of Chazanut. Lovers of Chazanut was a lot of people that still, I mean, you know, relatively, talking about close to 35 years ago, so survivors was in the 40s, the 50s. So there are very much of people that listen to Chazanut in their home. So we had, let's say concerts. We did every year did concert in Montreal and in Toronto. In effect, in 1981, I brought Dudu Fischer and his brother-in-law, Avi Albrecht. You're talking many years ago.
Yes.
My show before I came even, we had John Pierce. In 1980, we brought to our show the late cantor David Kosevitsky. It was still very good Chazan. Chazan Siaroni. I mean, we had concert every year, and in Montreal, my concert was minimum between 1,500 to 1,800 people at the concert.
Right.
Sold out. In Toronto, the same thing. I was from one of the in the first year or two of Chazan Helwood becoming, you know, so famous.
Mm-hmm.
He came to Toronto in the beginning of the '90s. Then. Mizrahi, of course, Benzion Miller, that I brought in many times. We probably performed most of concert together more than other Chazon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can mention any name that you know, really was at our show in my concert.
Right. But those days are past, sadly.
Yeah, and Chazon Baglik, of course, all of us have Chazon Baglik.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I performed with everybody, and the concert was full. Matter of fact, in Miami, I used to go to Miami every year, and we had minimum anything between 5 and 10 concerts that I know in a certain area. Today, very rarely. So, for somehow, young generation don't have
the appreciation,
but they don't appreciate it. Chazan, even though I believe that when they listen to a Chazan. And if he's a good Chazan and know how to cater for the people, because today, unfortunately, not too many people like to listen to the old fashion of Chazanos, even though it was unbelievable, and to sit for many hours. Even though in Israel, when I'm performing, I mean, davening Shabbat, they really want blood from 8. Still 1, 2, sometimes no intermission.
Wow.
But normally they don't want it. But so in Chazan today, I have to try to do one piece Chazanos, sing with the people, try to sing things that belong to the Nusach and not something else.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to who some of the your favorite cantors from the past who may have influenced you.
Look. From the past, again, I have my saying that I say to people sometimes, and the first minute they don't like what I'm saying. When I'm saying, nobody is a Chazan like me, and like they look, excuse me? And I said, but I'm telling the truth, because there is better or worse. Because every Chazan, every Dotzil, and every singer have something that somebody else don't have. So, for instance, Yosele, I believe that was probably the greatest because he had the most beautiful voice and a composer. Moshe Kusevitzky Roshan was unbelievable voice, but really was not a composer. Leiba Leglant was the greatest, in my opinion, because he was a Lechadesh, somebody who did a new thing, and not everybody light thing, but for me, he was one of the greatest person having to understand the prayers, mm-hmm. not only davening and saying something notes that fits sometimes, sometimes not. Then you had Hirschman, it was the most beautiful voice, but being composed to music, having Genshoff compose, and most of all, he took pieces from Rappaport and Alter and made them so beautiful. So every Chazan have something that I took or listened, or my teacher was Chazan Yitzchak Eschel. It was also unbelievable.
Eschel is fantastic. You know, I love his recordings. He had something, you know, almost reminds me a little of Glantz, just in the way they touch you. He was very special.
Because I studied by him close to 7 years, and really, I mean, study not once in a year, almost every week. And a lot of people asking me, how come you study by Eschel, you almost don't say ever any piece of Eschel? So I said, to say a piece of Eschel, it's very hard, because his coloratura was really outstanding. And the high notes, and it was beautiful. But by him, I studied how to pray, how to take a piece, even a non-piece, and do it the way that I understand the prayer and the piece. And that's what I got from Chazan Eschel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was amazing. From the living Chazan, to me, the only one, and really, so to speak, maybe even his age is not belonging to the last generation, but he's one of the oldest Chazan, is Chazan Moshe Stern.
Moshe Stern, yes.
That he lived for many, many years. To me, he's one of the greatest. I have a lot of davening, live davening. I was there. Some of them I helped without being there. But he is amazing, amazing,
yes.
Davener. And
yes.
That's what I believe, that the Chazan have to be, as I said to you before, that's what my father taught me. You have to be a good Beltfile in order to be a good Chazan. Because if you're not a Beltfile, so maybe you're a record player, but not a Chazan.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Schulhoff always said that also. He was a great proponent. He said, you gotta be at the Umid first. And if you can't do the Umid, forget about the mm-hmm. concert.
Schulhoff was a great davener also, because, again, he was understanding the davening. And not that I think that we have a lot of chazanim, that davening unbelievable, take a Bentin Miller, that is also a beautiful performer, but he knows how to stand the Beomut. And one of the reasons is because he had a father that was a chazan, Beltfile. He was listening to great chazanim. Me too, I had the schools to listen to Moshe Pesivitsky, Lieder, I don't know, Moshe Stern, Eschel, Unger, many chazanim that davened.
Uh-huh.
And that's what some of the Chazanim today don't have it. They listen to records. So they're becoming a very good record player.
Yes.
But they have to know how to stand on the Umud. And that's a lot of Chazanim, in my opinion, missing.
I also, in reviewing all the great cantors from the past, almost every one of them sang in a choir when they were a child. And I think that early age influenced them so strongly.
I sing also in the choir with, as I said, Chazan Fodorovich was the conductor, so I sing with Bill Komilsky, I sang with Chazan Meir Shushan, Oliver Sholem. So, of course, choir help, especially if you, but the Omud standing somebody to know how to dance.
Yes, the influence. So, what's going to happen with the future of Chazanot?
This is the million-dollar question that's already been asked for the last 50, 60 years. And for some reason, in miracle, in the concert hall, it's getting there. I mean, you have concert, not as used to be. At the shul, as I said to you, in Israel, for instance, I have a lot of Shabbatot, and many shuls have like one or two Shabbatot during the year, so it's not a lot. But they have a lot of shuls. I'll say about 20 shuls, 30 shuls, that is nothing compared to all Israel. But remember, most of the Shabbatot here in Israel, they have also choir.
Uh-huh.
And this costs money.
Yes.
And so really, Israel is the only place, unless you have a shul that have a regular choir, like Cantor Helmut shul, Cantor Benzion Miller shul.
Hirschlick,
I don't
yeah.
think that they have too many, and Hirschlick,
yeah.
And Tanner, and of course the great synagogue in Yerushalayim.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise you don't have regular Shabbat davening with choir.
The choir,
but
yeah.
I'll say all the Shabbatot that I daven in Israel and or any other chazan that come to Israel or a local, 99.9 it's with the choir because the people say we want to hear, so to speak, the old. And you'll be surprised how many young people come mm-hmm. to listen to this davening. If you go to the great synagogue, I davened there, for instance, last year I was a guest chazan with the choir of Yankele Rotman, with 60 male choir, and was over 2,000 people.
Wow.
And it was from everywhere. It was Natura Karte, Yeshiva Bochim, Leumim. It was all mixed from all over. It was beautiful. People stood for the old house that I done. So you have people, but unfortunately, not everybody will like to daven with the chazan. Like some of them will daven early in the morning, and then will come already after the kiddush. So it's much easier for them. Those of the radio are telling you what happened, when they come after the chong.
Well, one thing, when Benny and I ran our Shabbatons after Shachas, we would have the Kiddush for an hour and then come back for Musaf.
Yes, some of the shul, for instance, once a year, the tourist company, it's called Tuplos, they bring for the last few years Shabbat Shira, really a huge one in Ramada in Yerushalayim. They have something about 900 people that come from Thursday, and they have a concert with a chazan, sometimes a singer, and then Shabbat davening. So they start 8 o'clock, by 11 o'clock they finish Kriyat HaTzurah, you understand? 3 hours later. And then they're having 1 hour of, so to speak, breakfast, lunch, something like this.
Right.
And then 12 o'clock till about 2:30, they have Musaf, and of course everything is choir, and then about 3 o'clock is the main dinner, so to speak, but it's also Shalosh Sudot, because the davening is before already.
So this is
Five, 6 o'clock is already...
Is this every year?
For the last year, before it was to be another company by the name Krauss, they did it for many, many years. I did also with him, but now Tupus, the last 3 years, was Cantor Helmut, was me, was also other Chazanim. Sometimes it's the concert was the official. Every year he bring something out, but the davening Baruch Hashem, I did 2 years in a row. Is the choir of the Pa'amonim choir of Yossi Schwartz, very good choir. Matter of fact, I don't remember, but Yossi Schwartz was the one that conducted the concert that we then had in Park East last December. Young talent.
Well, I try to be optimistic. I do find young people need to learn. They need to be exposed to it, it's very difficult to just be exposed to just records. But
I think that your program probably helped a lot to do it.
Well, there are some people who sort of discovered it, and I'm proud of that fact. I've always enjoyed your davening, and you're one of my favorites, Yaakov.
Thank you very much. I try my best.
And I do enjoy your recordings, and I enjoy your davening, and I look forward. I don't know where if Benny and I could ever get back, or people are always asking, no?
I really hope so, because this was the best, I think, Shabbatonim from every point of view, from the Chazon's point of view, the organization, the food, everything you had. And I believe that you also should start again.
Well, it's a dream of ours. We talk about it, and you'll be the first to know.
I hope that the dream will come true.
Well, listen, I appreciate you taking the time to share these thoughts with us, and I look forward to seeing you.
Are you coming to Israel?
You know what? I was just there a couple of weeks ago, and I was there for the month of Morach. I was...
I have permission, you can come again.
Yes. Yes, actually today my three grandchildren are on a plane. They're spending summer. My daughter-in-law is Israeli, so it's I'm sort of there. My soul is there. Okay,
well, if you come, we'll be happy to meet you and to see you.
Thank you so much.
In the meantime, have a good day.
Same to you.
Shabbos.
Same to you. And regards to Marcia. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Okay, that was Yaakov Motzin, and we'll next hear from Eli Yaffe from Yerushalayim. I'm very pleased to have me on the phone from Yerushalayim, Eli Yaffe, who is a leading conductor, a director of the music department of Dvir Yeshiva High School for Art and of the Jerusalem School for Cantorial Art. He's the music director for the Jerusalem Great Synagogue Choir, as well as of the Europe Israel Foundation for the Advancement of Jewish Liturgical Music. Shalom, Eli. How are you?
Shalom. I'm very well indeed. And how about you?
Oh, things are fine. I'm sure my listeners, most of them, if they've ever been to Yerushalayim, they've been to the Great Synagogue, and they've seen you and your absolutely wonderful, outstanding choir.
Thank you.
How about telling us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you were raised?
Right. I was born in Jerusalem. I was raised in a religious frame by my family, my late father, Dr. Maurice A. Jaffe. He was the founder of Heichal Shlomo and the Jerusalem Great Synagogue. And may she live long, my mother. I studied in Yeshiva High School to be followed by service at the Israel Defense Army, in which I started the music education. Needless to say, when I was a child, I sang in the Heichal Shlomo Choir at that time as a boy, under the direction of Dr. Tzvi Talmon and the Chazan Moshe Stern, may he live long, one of the legends of Chazanut in our time. And I studied conducting and composition in the Rubin Academy of Music, to be followed by the Royal Academy of Music in London, and master classes from Leonard Bernstein and Igor Markevich. Ever since I started doing a combination between the classical music, where I conduct frequently, for example, in Prague, in Baltimore, in Mexico, in various places, but the idea that I have in mind is to combine the classical repertoire and the Jewish repertoire of cantorial music, which I write, compose, or arrange, to demonstrate to the world that without Jewish music, we wouldn't have the Verdi Requiem, we wouldn't have the Mozart C minor Mass. The Jews have given to the world the most significant two gifts, the Holy Bible and Jewish and music, a significant part of the worship of the Almighty. So that's what I'm doing, and composing and writing and lecturing all over.
Well, I was in Yerushalayim just a few weeks ago, and you had that outstanding concert and at the Har HaZeitim. That was among some of the great concerts that I've seen you direct and lead. It was very exciting.
Thank you, but no, this concert in Har HaZeitim was to deliver a message. Unfortunately, we suffer from severe terror activities and lynching and attacking by the Arabs, who really secular the tombs, they open the matzivot, they make the urinate there, they build houses there without any supervision, and trying really to to violate any Jewish sign in this particular place. And we have decided, and more so, the PLO terror organization was established there in 1964. So we decided to make known, to bring it to the attention to the entire world, mainly to the entire Jewish people, who may not be aware of this ridiculous situation in an independent Jewish state, what's happening in Har HaZeitim. So we decided to do this concert there. That was the initiative of Hillel Horowitz, who is acting as the head of the All Chevra Kadisha Association in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh. It was a wonderful, wonderful outpouring. I was so pleased to be there. Tell us about the choir. First of all, how people become members and how you maintain such a wonderful choir.
Well, first of all, it's a hard work. If I can tell you that before the High Holidays, we are doing approximately 40 rehearsals, that means something. But the idea is that I do the choir mainly in the memory of my late father, who established the synagogue. But I have decided to make sure, to do my utmost, that this will be an example for the world of how a synagogue choir should represent the Jewish music like. And it is known that in the past we had very important guests, such as Berlin Philharmonic came to hear the choir, members of the La Scala of Milano came to hear the choir, and next year the Gewandhaus directors are coming to hear the choir, to hear the beautiful, significant, divine services that we are trying to deliver. And the people from all over the world, Jews as unlike, coming to be inspired from the divine services, mainly in the High Holidays. Now, this obviously is a lot of work. We have people who are professional musicians, but mainly great music lovers, who are ready to sacrifice lots of their time to come and to really reach a high level of singing. And they do it out of complete neshama, and more if so, they do it in such a way which created a family atmosphere in the choir. They are all friends. They all like each other, which creates a lot of unity and adds to the musical level.
Well, I also note that from the choir, there are outstanding cantors being raised, if you will.
Well, that is true. That many of the people who study in the school of Petah Tikva, the control school in Petah Tikva, joined the choir. But not just. Many of them, I try to raise up as the chazanim. One of them, Avreni Kirshenboim, is now the second chazan of the Great Synagogue. Many of them I took on tours to Europe. I take them to concerts with orchestras and through the school and its director, with Kakashi. We do a lot of activities to bring more people who are known to have a good future in Chazanut. We send them a ballet filot all over the world for the High Holidays. And we are very proud because we teach them very deeply, very profound of Chazanut thinking, not just learning the pieces of Chazanut and repeat them.
It's wonderful to see Chaim Adler at the synagogue.
Yes, thank God. Chaim Adler came to us 4 years ago, or 5 years ago. You know, with the age, he's becoming more and more Yain Yashan Bikli Chadash. It's like an old wine in a new dish. God has blessed him with a unique voice, and he sings with a lot of neshama. And I love him, and I love working with him. He yes. always tries very hard to be prepared, and he's really, really understand his position as the chief chazan of the Great Synagogue, which I'm very happy about.
Well, it's wonderful to see the interaction between the choir and Chaim.
Yes, we love each other and we get along. That's a secret.
What are your thoughts about the future of Chazanut?
Well, I believe that now there is a certain kind of resurrection. We suffered severely a generation ago. We must not forget that the older Chazanim, such as Rosenblatt, Kosovitsky, could not imitate their procedures because they had no discs, there was no internet, there was no YouTube at that time. It became to such an extent that in our time, people try to imitate, and which is not good. What I'm trying to do is even teaching my pupil how to compose a piece of Chazanut. Never mind if they're influenced by other people. Bach was Mozart was influenced by Bach, Beethoven by Mozart. It's not an issue. We have to teach our future Chazanim thinking Chazanut and not only knowing Chazanut but understanding Chazanut. We have to teach them why is the Nusach that way and not sang another way. There is a Perush for every Nusach, just like there is a Perush in Torah. For example, I always maintain that the Nusach Tfilah is like the cantillation of Tamei HaMikra of the Torah. And that's how it should be treated. And that's how we get to understand it, to think it, and by that, thinking it better and expressing it better and more interesting.
Is there any glimmer of light that they're coming back to the shuls? I mean, the concerts seem to be thriving, but the eternal issue seems to be getting the shuls to bring the chazan back.
Well, that is my aim. I believe that concerts are important, you know, it's parnasa for the chazanim, and it's important to bring the message of chazanut to those who are not regular shul goers. However, it's needless to say, the place of the chazan, first and foremost, is the amud atfilah, the shtele, as we say in Yiddish. And that's where it should begin, and you should bring the shtele to the concert hall, which means even in the concert hall, when you say a good piece, you should say it as if you daven, because when you approach the audience, you should approach it in such a way that they would feel your davening even in a concert. But first and foremost, everything should be built in Nusach. The reason Nusach is called Nusach Misinai, because of its significance and importance. That is why we have to make sure that the Nusach will lead us in any part of our career, in any part of our thinking, whether it's in the concert hall, whether it's in the synagogue, but mainly start in the synagogue. Focus in the synagogue.
Yes, I was in touch with, I interviewed Yossi Malavani, and I said, Yossi, we really have to do on my program a class. I'm sure it'll be quite a few lessons on Nusach, because...
Yossi has a great knowledge of Nusach. He doesn't only know Nusach, he understands Nusach, which is much more significant. I was very, very lucky to share the stage with Yossi Malavani, both in the Chazanut world as in the classical world. He did Elijah with me in Prague. He did a magnificent job. And the thing is, that is so unique about him. He doesn't only know Nusach, he understands. And that is why he's very precise, he's very focused, and he's trying to get to the perfection which he believes, and I believe, Chazanut should get to.
How about some of your favorites from the past generation? Did you have any particular favorite Chazanim from the golden age, if you will, or the post-golden age?
Well, of course, but I must mention, you know, Moshe Stern is celebrating his 80th birthday this year. And let me tell you that for me, Moshe Stern was the one whom I took the first image of Chazanut as a youngster, as a child. He was the Chazan of the Heichal Shlomo Synagogue. And he was able to reach such a high level that he is one, for me, one of the greatest cantors, even from the Golden Ages. Now, needless to say, the Golden Ages were the Golden Ages as it is. Rosenblatt was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful musician. I call him Mozart of the cantorial world. But you cannot underline many others, such as the Kosovitskis, which gave so much to the world. But let me tell you something about Malavsky. Malavsky takes the simplicity and make it something legend. For example, his piece, Ribona Olamin. the guy just open the sidur and he doesn't. And that is so pure, so unique. This is the golden ages of Chazanut. Rosenblatt, Kosovitsky, Malavsky, and all these generations which had to make the effort to study themselves because they couldn't imitate as easy as we're doing today to the past generation.
Yeah, Malavsky's Shomea Kol Bechios is one of my most favorite selections.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. He was a real governor. He was a real governor.
I had the honor of interviewing four of his children about 25 years ago, and that interview is one. It was a two-hour program I did. It's one of the most often requested interviews I've ever done, and it was a wonderful experience. And of course, Moshe Stern, besides being a wonderful individual and a great voice, his improvisation is unique.
His improvisation, you say, not only his improvisation is unique, undoubtedly, but his approach to the text is unique. You know, I always tell him, there is only one best point in your government. It's ending. It comes to an end.
I like that.
But I want to tell you something. For me, what is to become a good chazan is to know how to serve the text, how to interpret the text through music. So it will bring will lift the spirit of the audience to be nearer the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you are a real shliach tzibur to be nearer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the music to deliver.
Well, it's also important for them to study, I think that's such an important for the young people. They just can't get up and sing. They need training and study.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They need training, they need understanding of the text. You will be surprised how many times I approach even Israeli students, Chazanim Omri, at the beginning, they think this is like Tiher Rabbi Ishmael, and there are some difficult words, and they don't know what it means. You cannot do that. You can, if I conduct oratoria, Mendelssohn, Verdi, Wagner, forgive me for an expression, I study every word, what it means, otherwise I cannot identify myself. I can mainly imitate. So they need a lot of training. First of all, also musical training. Could you imagine that a Hebrew teacher who cannot read Hebrew, a Chazan must read music. It is also important, and I'm going to say now something very bizarre. A Chazan needs ears before he needs voice.
Interesting.
He should know how to listen. To listen to the text, to listen to the accompaniment, to have an internal hearing, so it will give him the right rhythm, internal rhythm, the right approach. He must have wonderful ears.
Do you find there are many young people in Israel who are interested in Chazanut?
Yes. I must say every year, thank God, I'm getting more and more pupils who want to study, wants to come to concerts, and they're getting interested. That is why we should try and keep the level as high as possible without any compromise. That is why Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the great synagogue, is so unique. I'm making 40 rehearsals. No way I will compromise on anything artistically. I will treat everybody with utmost respect. But if you want to have people interested in Chazanut, you must not compromise. Go to the topest level. Otherwise, you'll be treated as such.
Well, Eli, I'm so pleased that you shared your thoughts with us. Before we end, any other closing thoughts?
Recording to ask that I should give you a request for recording?
No, I just wanted to know. any closing items that we haven't discussed?
Well, this, Tammuz, the initial of Zman Tshuva Memashmesh Uva. I would like to call all the Chazanim. There is one prayer, Hore Ma Sheyomer Uhavine Ma Sheyedaberu. This is a prayer in Rosh Hashanah, which all Chazanim together speaks about each other, try to support each other. The Tzipur is saying this prayer about the Chazanim. And I would like to call the Chazanim, go from Mechayil El Chayil, when Ezrat Hashem, God, we listen to our prayers, the Be'ezrat Hashem, through the wonderful, pure music that you deliver, we'll get Be'ezrat Hashem Keula Shlema, and we will bring all the Chazanim to Eretz Yisrael. They will all have positions, they will all have parnasa, and they will be Ish et Re'ehu Ya'azor Le'achim Yomar Chazak.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Eli.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Shalom. Okay, we're listening to Eli Yaffe, and the last chazan for this hour will be Jackie Mendelson. Is currently the cantor emeritus at Temple Israel Center of White Plains, New York. Shalom, how are you, Jackie?
Shalom to you and your audience. Great to hear from you, Charlie.
Thank you. Why don't you tell us, first of all, where you were born and raised and how you became interested in Chazanut?
I was born August 9th, 1946, 12 days in Menachem Av, in Borough Park, Brooklyn. And I don't remember when I wasn't interested in Chazanut.
Really?
Chazanut was always playing on the radio in our house on WEVD and on the Victrola, as we called it, 78 RPM recordings of mostly the great Mordechai Hirschman. My parents were huge fans of Hirschman, but we all played the others too, of course, Rosenblatt, Quartz, and the like.
Yes. You always had Sirota, and they always had a Caruso also.
Sure, we had a Caruso. And, yes. We even had Xavier Kugat in the band. Remember that?
Of course.
All Jewish homes had that, too.
So when did you actually get involved with Chazanut?
Well, at the age of 11, in preparation for my bar mitzvah, my mom sent me to the great William Buckchester. Willie Buckchester was the composer of the famous composition Habet Mishamayim Urei that Moshe Kozovitsky was famous for. And he was a teacher. And he would teach young people. And I auditioned for him, and he was quite interested in me. I had a very good ear and a nice voice. And he thought it would be a wonderful challenge to work with me. And it was a fantastic introduction into the world of Chazanut, working with this Viennese composer and Chazan.
Uh-huh. Did your brother Saul have some influence? I know he was a fine cantor in his day.
Yes. Saul, my brother Shlomo, when I was six, he was 19, and he got his first and last position. He became the student cantor at Temple Beth Shalom in Long Beach, and he stayed there for his entire career over 45 years.
Oh, wow.
And in one shul. And as a postscript, when he was a kid, he studied with Willie Buckchester, too.
Interesting.
So we studied the same repertoire growing up.
You had quite the same experience spending, was it 28 years at the Israel Center?
Well, I was the last 28 years until last July. I was the Chazan of Temple Israel Center, White Plains. My first position was in Riverdale. That was 66 to 72. And Addis Israel in Riverdale, and then Beth Torah in North Miami Beach from 72 to 76, and then Temple Gates of Prayer in Flushing, New York from 76 to 86, and then 86 to 2015 at Temple Israel Center. That was my career, 50 years.
Wow. That's great. Many of my listeners, I know, are familiar with the movie Cantor's Tale, which is about your life, which was such a great movie.
Thank you. You should know that we're shooting a sequel.
Really?
Sequel to A Cantor's Tale. It's untitled. Right? We're calling it, just to give it some sort of a name, we're calling it The Cantor's Project.
Uh-huh.
But it's just just a temporary name,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically dealing it's 10-11 years since the first movie, and what has happened? What is the matzav of Chazanut today? Different than it was 11 years ago, and it's not a pretty picture, as we all know. But we do think that the spark is still alive, and that just like neighborhoods change, I think the tastes of American Jews will change, and somehow, some way, Chazanut will come back into the picture.
Well, it's been around for so many years, I don't think it's going to go totally away, and the wheel keeps going around. I'm always optimistic, although there is room for pessimism, but I prefer to be optimistic.
That same year.
I understand you're coming out with a new album.
Yes, sir. I'm coming out with a 2-CD set called Yontef, Yontef, exclamation point. And it's 42 selections from the Yamim Noraim, the way I conducted them at Temple Israel Center with my professional quartet, with young people that would come up to, very talented young people, that would come up to the Bima and sing solos and duets with me, and also with 50 members of my congregation that sing the congregational melodies. It's pretty unique. It was recorded on the bima of my shul, which has wonderful acoustics. And it sounds very good. It doesn't sound like a studio recording. It sounds like almost like live davening.
Uh-huh.
And we have daveners in the background that provide that buzzing sound of live davening.
Yeah, the right feel.
And I'm very proud of it. And the old guy can still sing. I'm only 68.
You're a child. A child.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to hearing the album and playing it on the program. And certainly we'll want to have you on the program to discuss it.
Sure.
When is it coming out?
It'll be out in 3 to 4 weeks. So we're playing it close to the bone, but it'll be ready before Yontif.
Uh-huh. Great. Great. Tell us about your Temple Israel.
Well, Temple Israel was a wonderful shidduch. They've had great cantors there. One of my immediate predecessors was my buddy, the great Alberto Mizrahi.
Mm-hmm.
And before him was the wonderful bass baritone Bill Wolf. And before him, there was a chazan there by the name of Wooly Rubin. They called him, his actual name was Robin. They changed his name to Rubin. He was a very short fellow. They called him Wee Wooly Rubin.
Wow.
And he sang, he had a big operatic career, but mostly recording because he was so short that they couldn't put him on the stage with a soprano because she would tower over him. But he was a terrific chazan,
uh-huh.
And he was there for 50 years. He lived to be 102, and until the age of 100, he would sing the Shemos at the end of Nilad, Hashem, Hu HaElokim.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit like Joseph Schmidt, who was rather short in stature.
That's right. Joseph Schmidt sang almost exclusively on the radio because he was... He was so short that he couldn't sing with a soprano.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us a little bit about what's in store for you now that you're emeritus.
Well, I've got, the project of the new Cantor's Tale, which, you know, we're raising money and shooting at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so it's sort of a mom-and-pop operation by the same director, Eric Greenberger Anjou, who just had a home run with this music, with his new movie called Deli Man. Have you seen it?
Not yet. And I can't wait to see it.
It's a tremendous documentary, and I'm proud to say that he chose to put me in the documentary because I'm a deli man myself.
Yeah,
I'm not the subject of the documentary, but because my dad owned a deli in Borough Park, Sachs and Mendelssohn's Delicatessen on 5413 Utrecht Avenue. And Ziggy Gruber, who is the focal point of the documentary, Ziggy Gruber's dad also had a kosher deli in Bensonhurst. And so the two of us became fast friends, and I ended up marrying him, the subject of Deli Man, at the Dohani Shul in Budapest.
Wow. By the way, Jackie, we have a lot in common because from the age of 13 for myself till I graduated law school, I worked in Tabachnik's, and I was the best lock slicer in the state of New Jersey.
Oh, lock slicer. Well, that is an art, let me tell you.
I know.
You mean you could cut it thin?
Very thin, very thin.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, those are the good old days. I have to see Deli Man, yeah. And, my younger sister lives in Dallas, and there's a guy in the film, I understand. I've been to his place to see it. He has quite an operation. Ziggy, I think his name is, or whatever.
Yeah, Ziggy Gruber.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So you've got the film, and you're coming out with this new recording.
But I'll tell you that the most fun I'm having is with a play, a Broadway type play. It's a one man show,
uh-huh.
And it's called, of all things, The Cantor's Couch. You heard it, The Cantor's
Couch.
Why is it the
Okay.
Yes, why is it the Cantor's Couch? I'll tell you why. Because for two 45-minute segments with an intermission, I talked to my shrink. I talked to my psychiatrist. Actually, the psychiatrist in the play is played by a chair. And I'm on a couch, and I talk to the chair as if it's my psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
And through the sessions with the psychiatrist, we talk about my life as a chazan, personal things about my life, my bar mitzvah, which has all kinds of interesting stories, and how I became a chazan, my days of studying with Buck Chester, which were hysterical, because Buck Chester, who we used to call Buggy, or Bogey, like Humphrey Bogart, was a very, very, very funny guy. He provided me with laughs that lasted the rest of my life. He had all kinds of crazy mishigas that he would do. He would be half dressed. I'd knock on the door and he'd say, "Jackie, I love you. Come in quick! Oh my God, I have cramps."
He'd
run into the bathroom for 45 minutes while I'm standing there alone. And he comes back out, he's just dressed in his underwear and his patent leather shoes, and he runs to the piano. He says, "Now, Chucky, if you sing." I said, "Bogey, don't you want to put on a gown or something?" He says, "Never mind, we're men together, don't bother about it."
I love this.
We used to have lessons, all day long lessons. In the summertime, we'd get on the D train, and we'd go to Washington Baths in Coney Island together.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Chucky, we go to Washington Baths, and we study in the Schwitz."
In the Schwitz, oh wow!
In the Schwitz, he would teach me chazonas.
Uh huh.
And he had a pail with a sponge, and when he got hot, he dipped it in the pail, and he poured cold water all over his face. He says, "Okay, let's do beer kastoyanim."
But did you have the eucalyptus leaves? Because I used to go for a pleitsa at the Luxor Baths. That was a different experience.
No, but I remember Washington Baths was the porter. It was a saltwater pool.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days, baby.
Yes, yes. So But growing up in Borough Park, you had so many great chazanim nearby. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Look, I even, for one season, I got to sing in Benny Friedman's choir with Moshe Kozovitsky.
Uh-huh.
And we were also members of Temple Emanuel, David Kozovitsky Shul. We do dues-paying members of Bethel and Emanuel. Mm-hmm. But that didn't mean we didn't go to the Svartische Shul.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we wanted to, and Ira Chazan, and Rabinovich was a wonderful chazan. And Friday night, we would daven at the Svartische Shul downstairs. The nickname for the Svartische Shul that my father had, we called it the Bump Shul. B-U-M-P, the Bump Shul. Why? Because when walking downstairs into the Svartische Shul, on the wall was a bump in the wall. So we called it the Bump Shul. And we go sitting there, and they were daven with tables with white, you know, white paper tablecloths over mm-hmm. the tables.
Right.
And they would pass the snuff. They would pass the tabak around.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I went, I was 7 years old, I see they're passing the snuff, and it gets to my father, and he puts in the snuff, and I say, "What's going on?" He says, "Jackie, come on, put it in your nose, sniff it in, and you'll like it." So I put it in, and I sneezed about 200 times. These people were laughing their heads off
uh-huh.
at me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, those were the days.
Yes. By the way, I just did a 30th anniversary of the Yahrzeit for David Kozovitsky. It's 30 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
What a gentleman he was. He was such a sweet man. He used to come into our deli, and in a high voice, he would say, Mr. Mendelssohn, please get on club, scoop the bread, and bring me a beer the back. A beer from the back. See, the beer, he didn't want the beer from the fridge, because my throat, I don't wish to catch a cold. So we brought him a warm beer from the back.
Oh, no.
Oh, he was such a good guy.
Those must have been such wonderful days.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So
when I was in North Miami Beach as a chazan, I had the great honor of inviting him to do a Shabbos davening.
Uh-huh.
In my shul, and that davening is on YouTube.
Oh, really? The whole thing?
You go on YouTube and David Kozovitsky Miami or Florida davening. You're going to hear a choir of 30 children. That is my children's choir. And I'm conducting them, and David is singing.
Oh. You know, there's a whole underground of live davenings. I don't get involved with that, but it's an interesting...
There's a lot of Genshoff davenings on YouTube.
Yes, Stern.
Genshoff was my mentor. The first one I invited was Genshoff in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
In 1974, I invited my David for the second time.
Those must have been wonderful events, for sure.
Tremendous events. And
for sure.
And my kid in my choir, a soloist, sang the Mishah Asanisim with David, and singing a duet with her. Her name is Faith Steinsnyder. She later became a female cantor.
Uh-huh.
She's, of all the female cantors, she's the one with the real Chazanish Moil.
How do you say, what's her last name, Faith?
Faith Steinsnyder. She's quite famous.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, in 1998, when the Cantors Assembly sang a concert in Carnegie Hall for the 50th anniversary of the Cantors Assembly, she sang Pinchik's Rosa de Shabbos.
Oh, I was there. She was wonderful. The Rosa de Shabbos.
She was the
only
one that that they asked to come back to
mm-hmm.
get another ovation after she left the stage.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
Yes. Well, there she is at 15 years old. On YouTube, singing Chaverim Kol Yisrael with David Kozovitsky.
Okay, I have to look that up.
Yeah.
Jackie, would you, if somebody came to you and said, "Listen, I love Chazanut. I want to become a chazan," what would you advise that person?
Well, first, I would find out what kind of a talent we're dealing with. Because if the talent isn't there, forget about it. you have to have native ability, and you can't just have some kind of a voice. You have to have a good voice, and even more important, a good ear. A good ear for music. And you have to, it's not enough to just want to be a chazan. I have to detect if that person truly loves chazanis. And if they have all of those ingredients, then I'll say to them, okay, I'll encourage you. I think you deserve a chance at it. But otherwise, you can't make it today unless you really have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still like to encourage people to go into the cantorate because I haven't given up yet. But you gotta have the goods. There is nothing worse than bad chazonis.
That's for sure. And
there's nothing greater than terrific chazonis. Nothing greater than terrific chazonis. But bad chazonis, oy veis, there is nothing worse than that.
Not only that, it turns people off for the rest of their lives sometimes. When someone says, I hate chazonis, I always say, yeah, I don't think you ever really heard great. You haven't heard it.
I mean, chazonis done beautifully. There isn't a greater art form in history of the planet Earth than great chazonis. I mean, it's a true classical vocal art form where you let go of your emotions. In opera, you can let go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But chazonis,
yes.
Your emotions are right there. Your heart is in your sleeve.
Right. It's soul. It's real. It's really soul music.
It's tremendous.
Yes. Okay. How about some closing thoughts? I really appreciate you taking the time.
I want everybody to wait, and look out for my one man show, The Cantor's Couch. It's going to be done in. We have so far 5 bookings. But,
in the metropolitan area?
No, we're mostly doing it on the road because before it comes to New York for a run, we want it to be perfect. We're doing it in Minneapolis. We're doing it in Houston. We're going to be in Westport, Connecticut. And we are going to have it in Hollis Hills on November 22nd at Sol Zim Shul.
Oh, that's terrific.
So look out for that. At some point, it's going to be done at Rhoda Shullum in Manhattan. And we've just, it has now just gotten into the hands of Moshe Rosenfeld of Golden Land Productions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look for lots of more bookings. And before you know it, it'll come to the city.
Great. When is this going to be at Sol Zim's? In November?
November 22.
22. I'll have to put that on my cantorial calendar.
Yes,
certainly.
That is a Sunday. Yes.
Certainly. Okay, well, I certainly wish you much success on your new ventures, and it was a pleasure speaking with you, Jackie.
Great speaking with you, Charlie. Kol tov, long live Chazanut.
Amen.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.